Miss Brooklyn wanted me to announce, if you're missing something from your pew, they had the carpets cleaned in the church this week, and so it's very possible it's in that tub or this tub, if you are missing something that belongs to you. And if you find $1 million, that's mine. But anyhow, glad you're here this morning, and I would ask you to be in much prayer for the next lessons. I'm not rushing this one at all on the home. It's very important that we can get all we can out of the Word of God concerning our homes, our families, and how to live for the Lord. And again, I appreciate all your prayers for me. We will be in Genesis this morning, and it's always good to start with how God started everything. And so please be mindful of that, and continue to pray for the Alexander family, and of course, Brother Roger Lee's family. Ask the Lord to continue to be with them. I had a blessing yesterday. Matthew called me, Matthew Howe, and congratulated him on becoming a Marine. And he's excited about it. And, of course, they're spending some vacation time together, so be in prayer for them. And always let's be in prayer for one another, but especially let's be in prayer for our families. And ask the Lord to help each and every one of us individually. As I said at the close of last week's Sunday school lesson, I am not an expert in this subject matter. In fact, I'm far from it. But again, it's not about me and me having expertise. It's about what does God's Word say, and that's what we need to rely upon. That's where we should always run to, is what does God say. And so you be in prayer for the service this morning. Let's ask the Lord to please speak to our hearts. Brother CJ, would you open us in prayer? Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, Genesis chapter 1. When you're there, let me know by saying amen. Now, let's go ahead and look at verse 26 and verse 27. And I absolutely, thoroughly enjoy teaching and preaching. And it's a blessing. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It's not a right. But thank God we still have freedoms in this country that we can do this. But when we look at what's taking place here, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "And God said, let," what's the next word? Us. And of course, those that deny the Trinity, I don't see how they can deny the Trinity. He was not speaking to angels, as Pastor has covered many times. You know, I've preached it many times. He is talking to the Godhead, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And these two are having a business meeting, if you will. And but here they are, and God is speaking. He said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion," in other words, control, "over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man. Do you know what that one partial piece of this sentence declares right now? It's when it says, "So God created man," what does this do away with? Evolution. If you are a born again child of God, there should be no even giving any attention to evolution. We did not evolve. God did not create an amoeba that one day left the water and grew legs and tail and eventually lost that tail and started to get upright and became a monkey. That's just a lie from Satan, and he's used it over and over and over again. And any person that is deceived by that has not accepted the Bible or has read the Bible. The Bible is the forever settled Word of God. Please, again, put all your stock in what God's Word says, not what I say, not even what Pastor Lawson says. I'm glad we can trust Pastor Lawson. But it's putting stock in what is written and forever settled. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Now look at here. This should do away with something that we're fighting with today. Male and female created he them. When you look at that, this does away with evolution. This does away with the arguments as to how many sexes there may be, or genders, whatever you want to call it. God had made it very clear, male and female. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now don't let that word replenish fool you. Restore. How many of you ever heard of that word? You know, you do it again. When you're doing restoration, I worked in restoration, you know, we try to remodel things. You're modeling it again. Well, replenish is not refilling it again. Now, some have gone off the deep end and trying to say that, you know, there was another society or humans before this, and God wiped them all out, and then he started over again. That's not what this is teaching. When God said, let there be light, the earth was void and without form. Yes or no? This is what the Bible teaches us. But there was not a race before us. And we need to be very careful about that. And I could even go into some deeper things. I think I might get in trouble if I say it. But you read the Bible, it'll do away with aliens. Okay? As far as extraterrestrial creatures from another planet, it'll do away with that. If you believe the Bible. And isn't it amazing how Satan is fighting so hard to cause doubt in our belief in him? To cause doubt concerning God's word with him. Of course, as we get to Genesis chapter 3, that's exactly what he did at the very beginning. He tried to cause Eve to doubt what God had said. And brothers and sisters, he hasn't quit. He's an expert at fooling people. He is an expert liar, an expert deceiver, and his game hasn't changed a bit. He's all about trying to get people to doubt the word of God, to discard the word of God. But I'm glad we have his word. And so we see how God made them. God created man. He made them male and female. He blessed them. He gave them dominion over the earth. Now, one of the things we see about men today is man wants to dominate man. Man wants to be worshipped by man. And that cannot be. Too often, even in churches, we worship a man, the leader, when we ought to be worshiping God. I have great respect for our pastor. I have just an awe for him because of his faithfulness to the Lord. But I worship God. And that's the way it ought to be, and he'll tell you that. He'll tell you that. He's just an instrument in God's hands, and thank God for him. But let's get out of this thing that people are falling into today, especially in churches, of worshiping the pastor, worshiping the leader. No, you revere him, you respect him, you give him honor that is due, but you worship and praise God. Not one pastor has saved any soul. Amen? And I just throw that out there for you to think upon, to ponder upon, and I'm glad we don't have to worry about our pastor wanting to be worshiped today. Okay? Genesis chapter 2, let me know when you're there. It shouldn't be that hard. You should be on Genesis chapter 1. But Genesis chapter 2, let's look at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Here again, declaring very specifically, God created mankind. God is the one who created each and every one of us. Now, Adam, he formed out of the dust of the earth. You and I, he formed in the womb. But think about what our mothers ate. They ate produce, vegetables, fruits, vegetables, whatever the case may be, that was grown out of the dust of the earth or the dirt. As you think about that, we see this. This is how God did it. Isn't it amazing how that before God even created Adam, God created everything that Adam would need with the exception of a helpmeet. The fish, the plants, the fruit trees, food. He provided everything that man would need before he created mankind. And as we're going to learn, Adam ruined a lot of things. But before I get too harsh on Adam, I probably would have done a whole lot worse. Just telling you, because I know me. But when we look at what's taking place here, it's important for us to see this. Let's pick up in verse 15 now. Verse 15 of the same chapter. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. What was Adam's occupation? He's a farmer, right? You think about this, but God put him there to dress and keep it. But remember, when God created the plants, the trees, and all that, they would produce their own fruit without the labor of man. I want you to think about that because of the curse that's going to be put upon man when he sins in chapter 3. Here, all he had to do was dress it. In other words, just do minor work, minor detail in it, dress it and keep it. So we think about that. God created man. God created this earth. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad an explosion didn't create this earth? How many of you have ever played with fireworks? For example, I used to love to make plastic model airplanes. How many of you ever did that? But after a while, I got bored with it, and so I would take some firecrackers. And I would act like I was sending that plane into war. And, you know, even some army men lost their life, but they were plastic. It's okay. So you think about all that. An explosion destroys. It does not create. And yet, what is the world being fed today? The Big Bang. No, God created it. He spoke it. It happened. And that's all we need to, that's what we need to rely upon. But a lot of people, they're looking for so much more. They just cannot take the basics or the simplicity of God's word because it doesn't make sense. Isn't salvation the same way? I mean, man wants to complicate salvation. Man wants to put so much more into salvation because, first of all, man wants to be able to say, I earned it. Man wants to say, well, I'm a good person. But the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And so be mindful of these things as we take a look at what's going on here. But he put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, and the Lord God commanded the man. Now, who is not present at this point? Eve. Please keep this in mind, okay? Eve is not yet present. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. When you look at this, God specifically commanded Adam. Eve is not present, but he told Adam exactly what he expected. He showed him exactly which fruit of which tree he should not eat. Okay? But again, Eve's not here. Why is Adam more accountable than Eve? Because God told him first. God created him first. God specifically commanded him, and as we find in Ephesians chapter 5, God has an order in our homes, whether you choose to follow it or not, that Jesus Christ is the head of the man is head of the woman. As far as authority, that's how that goes. And some of that has to do with what took place in the Garden of Eden. And hopefully we can see that here in just a little bit. But here, God told him not to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's very important that we remember that. He goes on to say in verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. And that rings true even today. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. By the way, that was not in English. Okay? I'm thankful for English. I'm glad we are able to naturally speak English, those of us that were born in the United States of America. I believe that the one world language that we find in the end times will be English. Okay, so we're jump ahead of people as far as the language that will be spoken here. But here, Adam named the animals. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a... Oh, come on now, got to help me. A woman. What are we arguing about today's society? Our politicians, you ask them, what is a woman? And they have no clue. Isn't that amazing? But when we think about it, God made it very clear to us that he created man and he created woman. There should not be any argument today as to what a woman is. A woman cannot be a man. Oh, I'm getting unpopular with the world today. I don't care. A woman cannot be a man, and a man can never be a woman. I do not care what types of surgery you perform. I do not care what types of drugs you take. It does not change what God created you to be. And what we are experiencing today is reprobate minds all over this world because they have rejected God. They have rejected God's word. They've rejected God's creation. God's original intent, male, female, man, woman. Man begets offspring. The woman produces offspring. I am so ashamed of the medical community today that goes behind all this. They want us to trust them with our lives, with our medicine and our physical well-being, but they can't even tell us what the genders are. Okay? And there's only two. They can't do that. What led to that? I'll tell you what led to that. The love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money. Why do most of our politicians, they know what a man and woman is. I guarantee you they know what it is. Because they slip up and use it. Women's rights. Why do you need women's rights if you don't know what a woman is? Yes or no? Now, you say, I thought you were talking about our family. Listen, we got to have the basics down. We got to have the foundation right. You talk about women's rights in one breath, but then you say, well, I don't even know what a woman is. Well, if you don't know what something is, why does it need rights? And, of course, you help me there by laughing at it, but it's sad, isn't it? It's very troubling. But in the end times, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. God's word always proves itself to be true. None of this has caught God off guard. He didn't wake up this... Did you know, by the way, God doesn't sleep? Now, Jesus slept in the boat. I understand that. But God does not sleep. He doesn't take vacations. None of this has caught God by surprise. And yet, how many quote-unquote believers today have had their faith destroyed because of the lies of Satan? They say they believe, but then this happens. They say they're perplexed. How could this happen? Listen, we ought not to be surprised by anything that happens, honestly. There should be nothing that we're just like so surprised because the Bible says it's going to get worse. Man is totally depraved without God. This is why we need Jesus Christ. This is why we need him. So you think about all this. He made the woman out of the rib of Adam. Okay. Then, if you will, did I read verse 21? I'll just read it again. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. Now look at here. How many people on earth right now? Just two, not counting God. There's just two people, Adam and Eve. And yet God brought the woman, says brought her unto him. Now for the young people, moms and dads, I encourage you to use this philosophy as well. Let God bring that person into your life that he wants. Even when there's only two people, there's no other choices. There's no, well, I like Lady A and Lady B. No. Here God brought Eve, even though she created him out of Adam, he still brought her unto Adam. And the best advice I can give to young people is don't go searching for your spouse. Let God bring your spouse to you. Satan has someone for our children, for our grandchildren. And it's not who God wants. And they might even be saved. I would never thought I would have had to even clarify that today. There may be people who are saved, but they're still not the right person for your child to marry. And how many marriages have been destroyed, have been ruined from the beginning? They started wrong. And I want you to help me to pray for all of our families. My family, your family, our children, your children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Some of you have the wonderful benefit of being a great-grandparent. Hallelujah. And by the way, when we study the family, I'm going to try to cover every aspect, not just moms and dads, but grandparents, and because it's very important. It's very, very important. We can all have a role. In fact, God expects us to have a role. As you get into Deuteronomy chapters 4 and chapter 6, you know, teach them unto thy children and to thy children's children. And then the Bible talks about the third and fourth generation. We have a wonderful opportunity to serve God by reaching our own family, by helping our families to understand what God designed. And that's what we need to stay with. And so he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called." Isn't that amazing? And now I think we know why Satan is so intent on this argument of what is a man and what is a woman, especially what is a woman. You know, I don't find them fighting over what's the definition of a man today. I don't see that. But I do see them arguing, well, what is a woman? And Satan has been attacking women since the beginning. But in our own nation, especially back in the 50s and 60s, even in the 40s in World War II, that was an attack on women to get them out of the house, to get them away from caring for their children, putting them in the factories. Can a woman work? Absolutely. Is a woman lesser than a man? Absolutely not. Okay? But God has ordained what roles we should fulfill. Does that mean a woman has to stay at home barefoot, shackled to the kitchen, just pumping out kids? No. That's not it at all. In fact, if you read about the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31, that was a busy woman. That was a very knowledgeable woman, a very skilled woman. And yet people want to accuse true Christians of trying to, you know, lower the evaluation of what women are worth. No. If we truly believe God, we realize that our wives, that our moms, grandparents, whatever, the woman has a great value in God's eyes. And so this is something, we need to get back to this. We need to make sure that we understand this and we stick with this. Because society is the one that told us that women don't have to be inferior. Well, we never said they were inferior. And if we're not careful, if we get our eyes off the Word of God, we're going to get our eyes on what the world says, and then we'll follow what the world says, and then we will get ourselves in trouble with God. And let's not do that. I want God's blessings on our families. On my family, on your family. I'm praying just as much for your family as I am mine. Of course, I have a little bit more interest in my family, but listen, if Satan can destroy the nuclear family, he has won a major victory. Now remember, he created us in his image, in his likeness, and that's something to take into consideration and hold to, and honestly to be very proud of, not in a prideful, you know, selfish way, but in the fact that God took that value and he placed it upon us to be able to be made into his image. And so looking at that, we see that and what is taking place. Verse 24, Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be what? One flesh. Do you think the Godhead is one? When you think of 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, it talks about the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, and it says, these three are one. Now, in the marriage, God wants us to be one with our spouse. But God also wants a third party in that marriage, Himself. All right? We have God the Father. We have Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit. In the marriage, there should still be God and the man who represents Christ and his bride, right? And then you have the bride or the wife. She is a type of the Holy Spirit. This is not a gender thing here, but this is the unity. The triune God wants us to have unity and realize that we are no longer, for example, in our marriage, it's no longer John or Patsy. It's John and Patsy. We are one. The problem that we run into is that we forget, and every one of us are susceptible to this, we forget that we are to be one and not separate. Well, this is my bathroom, and this is my side of the bed, and this is my bank account, and this is my vehicle. We got to be careful with that type of thinking. First of all, it's all God's. But secondly, we're one. It should be our. Well, what about that? What about this? That's my child. How many marriages have been destroyed because the parents, whether father or mother, decide to become one with the children instead of becoming one with their spouse? I love my children. I praise God for my children. But God did not want me to become one with my children. He wants me to be one with my wife. Just as the Godhead is one. God, the Holy Spirit, does not argue with God the Father or God the Son. They all agree. They all have the same desire. Please understand what I'm trying to say. There's no arguing between the Godhead. And that's the kind of unity that God wants in our marriages. And we don't get to look at that much, do we? We don't get to see that much because of what the world has fed us. The world will feed you garbage. The world will feed you perversions. But we need to stick with what God says. And I know I keep saying that, but I can't overemphasize it enough. All right? Now, let's begin chapter 3. The first attack on the family, or the first attack on humanity in general. This is the first attack we see from Satan. Now, God created everything perfect, lacking. How did he create it? He said, this is good, this is good. And then the last day he said, this is very good. But God created everything as it should be. But then Satan enters in. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the what? Well, why would he say something to her if we don't know what it is? And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Here he is starting out using the word of God, but causing doubt in the word of God. He came unto the wife, which the Bible describes as the weaker vessel. That doesn't mean the less value vessel. That means the more fragile vessel. Okay, God created Adam first. Then he created Eve. Who is Satan going after? The weaker vessel. The one who was not there when God commanded Adam directly to his face. Thou shalt not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? But, as we're going to find out, Eve knew something about that tree. Eve had some knowledge about that tree. Which means Adam and her obviously talked about it. Isn't it good for spouses to talk? That should have been an amen all around. Listen, we need to talk with our spouse. Just as you claim that you have a relationship by talking with God through prayer, you ought to speak to your spouse. Your marriage will not become stronger if you don't communicate with your spouse. One of the greatest errors I'm seeing in families today, even my own, is a lack of communication. A lack of understanding of what has been communicated. And here again, this isn't where we get selfish and say, well, I'm the man, you best just hush, woman. That's foolish. That's foolish. God has given women an insight that men don't have. Intuition, how many of you ever heard of that? Okay. A woman's intuition. You think about that. There were things that our wives can see that we cannot, men. We need to stay in touch with her. But how can we say we're in touch with God when we don't have a good relationship with our wife? Now, I haven't started on the marriage quite yet, but we're getting there. But here we have the first marriage. God orchestrated that marriage. God brought them together. God expects them to be one, but Satan wants to single you out. He got the woman. Apparently she's alone. Where's Adam? I don't know. God does not allow us to know that, but Adam should have been there, in my opinion. And that, maybe a dollar might get you a cup of coffee somewhere. But when you look at it, we see that he came after the woman first. And then he starts supposedly quoting the word of God. Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. So she knew something. She obviously had some idea of what he was trying to cause her to doubt. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. But then she says this, she's adding now, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Did God say, Adam, you can't touch that fruit? He did not. He just said, you can't eat of it. Eve, whether Adam relayed the message well or not, she knew about the subject matter. It was enough that she began to argue with the serpent. And by the way, we ought to resist the devil. You resist the devil, and the Bible says he will flee from you. Okay. But she said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, now remember, he brought in the word of God, but then he says this, you shall not surely die. Now what is he saying about God? That God's a liar. Has Satan tried to convince you that God's a liar? When you were lost, do you remember how many times Satan tried to get you to think that you didn't need God? That God isn't who the Bible says, or God isn't who these Bible thumpers say he is. And Satan, boy, he's slick. He's slicker than our politicians. But we know who they follow. Amen. For here we go. He caused a doubtful representation of the Bible. Then he declares that the Bible will not be true, or God's word will not be true. Verse 5, now he's trying to get her to think that God has ulterior motives. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You shall be as what? Gods. Have you not noticed that man wants to be his own God today? Now he'll fall in line with whatever religion that will allow him to be his own God. Because we try to hide the fact that we're prideful. We try to hide the fact that we're self-centered, or at least most people do, not some people. But here it is. Satan is tempting her. I'm going to present you the word of God. I'm going to get you to doubt the word of God. Then I want you to know that God is not really looking after you. God doesn't really care about you. In fact, God hopes that you don't find out the quote-unquote truth. This is what he's doing here. And he hasn't stopped this, by the way. He still does it today. He still may try to do it in your marriage, in your home. This is why we've always got to go back to what does God's word say? And I don't know about you. I mean, I kind of have an idea, but God's never lied to me. You know, the Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie, even if he wanted to. Are you listening? No, he wouldn't want to, because he is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Think about that. Now, where did that verse come from? The Old Testament? That came from the New Testament, John 14:6. Jesus Christ, who is God, he is the truth. Who created? John 1:3. It was Jesus Christ. He created all things. He's the creator. He's the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. All right? You say, no, he didn't exist until 2,000 years ago. You don't understand who Jesus Christ is then. He's eternal God. He was in the beginning with God, John 1:1. And so here at the end, you know, I'm giving you doctrine, but I'm also giving you addresses of where you can find this so that we can convince the gainsayers. So that when people want to argue with us, we can show them what the truth says. But I don't know about you. I've noticed a lot of people that want to argue about these things, they don't care to see the truth. So don't cast your pearl before swine. Okay? There's a time to speak. Answer a fool according to his folly. Answer not a fool according to his folly. Well, what do I do? It depends on the situation. If that person has interest in the truth, follow up. If not, just ignore them. You're going to be wasting your time. I remember in my younger years as a preacher, and I would try to argue with anyone I could that didn't agree with what I was trying to tell them. And I would go until I was blue in the face. I would spend hours debating. Listen, there's really no need to spend hours debating. You just give them what God's word says. And don't get this mindset. A lot of times we get this mindset that you need to believe what I say in order for you to get right with God. No, you don't need to believe what I say in order for you to get right with God. God did not say, win the argument. He said, preach the word. And heretic, after the first and second admonition, what? Reject. Hey, if they're not going to listen, they're not going to listen. You are not going to convince them. There are times I try to do the work of the Holy Spirit. But I can't because I'm not the Holy Spirit. I try to bring conviction on people. I couldn't. Oh, I could make them feel bad. But as far as conviction that would lead them to repentance, I couldn't bring that into their life. Only God could. So think about these things. Here's an argument between Satan and the woman. And the woman, of course, has now added to the word of God. She's been deceived. She's continuing to listen to him. Now, I cannot tell you what I would have done in Eve's situation. But again, when Satan is trying to attack you, flee him. When the attacks continue, try to resist him. Don't continue arguing with him. Do you know Satan is more versed in the scriptures than I am? Than you are? Yet it's the same scriptures that Jesus used to defeat Satan. So please understand that. Satan knows the Bible better than I do. And he can run circles around me, giving out the Bible. But he's doing it to deceive people and lead them away from the truth. We must preach Jesus and him crucified, amen, and resurrected, hallelujah. So here it is. He knows that you will be his gods. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be, what's the next word? Desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, there's all kinds of beliefs out there as to why Adam ate it. I think a lot of it has to do with his love for Eve. But remember what God tells us, that we are to love him more than we do everyone else. Now, when God created man, did he create him saved? I want you to think about that. Did he even create man righteous? Be careful. God created man innocent. God created Adam innocent. There was no sin yet. Yes or no? He was innocent. But God gave Adam a commandment. You shall not eat of that fruit, of that tree, of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't do it. He told him that in chapter 2, right? Eve has been deceived. Eve kind of knew that she wasn't supposed to. But then she eats of the fruit. She brings it to Adam. And what does Adam do? No matter what the reason, he willingly sinned against God. I can't tell you the intent of Adam's heart. God does not let us know that. But I can say he willingly disobeyed God's command. Because when she brought it, did he know which fruit that was? When she brought it to him, did he have an opportunity to say, I'm not going to eat of that? God told me not to. He did. But yet he chose to sin against the Lord. Again, for whatever reason, we don't know, and it would not be worthy of us to try to speculate as to why. But this is how we know sin entered into the world. And this begins man's need for salvation. Please understand that. Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were what? Look at verse 5. Satan said, for God doth know in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be. Was Satan right? Absolutely, he was right. This is why I'm telling you, they were created innocent. Until light was given unto them, God did command Adam not to do it. So therefore, you know, as long as Adam was obeying the Lord, there was no transgression. And they did not realize their nakedness. Now, not only are we talking about no clothes, but we're also talking about once they ate of that fruit, they became destitute. Once they ate of that fruit, they became depraved. They had the truth. They knew what to do. They disobeyed the truth. We're the same way. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is, James 4:17, right? You think about that. Adam knew better, but he chose to sin. Therefore, God opened his eyes because he ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. His eyes saw. There was no excuse for saying, I didn't know. There's no way of saying, well, you know, of course, we get into the blame game here in just a little bit. And we're going to look at that. And I don't know how much further I'm going to go today. But what we see, and again, I'm not going to be in a big hurry about this. I hope that doesn't bother you. But I think we really need to dive deep into God's family, what God has designed as a family, the husband and wife relationship. Notice there's no children yet. Amen? God has a specific order that he wants us to follow. We do not follow that order today. We should if we want God's blessings. We should if we want God to continue to help us to be what we need to be. Trying to follow my notes here. I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail. I'm glad nobody else is guilty of that. All right, next week we'll talk about the curses that follow because of disobedience of sin. Any questions on the lesson so far? All right. Yes, sir. Off the top of my head, because Jesus said, I beheld Satan falling as lightning. I think his rebellion was definitely before the creation. Satan's rebellion. And if you remember in the New Testament, Jesus said that God created hell for Satan and his angels. So therefore, yes, hell probably did exist. And just my understanding at this moment. That's something I'd have to look into further. But I do believe it probably did exist. But again, it was not. Listen, the hell was not created for mankind yet. But it is a punishment for those who reject Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. I hope that helped. I'm not sure. Anybody else? All right, can I encourage you, can I behoove you to strongly be in prayer? However long these lessons take, you can never rush the Word of God. You know, the Bible says it's a study to show yourself approved, right? I did not even think about this argument about, you know, the term woman until I started preparing for this lesson. Then I see the very first thing God brings out, you know, Eve is called woman. And then what's the big attack today? What is a woman? Nobody knows. Well, we do know. They just don't want to admit it. But that's Satan. That's how you know it's Satan. Because it's obvious what a woman is. There is no big magical mystery as to what a female is. Amen? And I hope you're all persuaded on that. I really do. But we've got generations that are being sucked into this, and they're just falling head over heels into this and accepting it, embracing it. And then we wonder why there's a generation that rose up that knew not God. When you deny God's creation, when you deny how God created things, you're opening yourself up to destruction. And it doesn't just affect us. It affects our family, our children, and generations to come. Amen? All right. Well, thanks for paying attention. Again, we'll pick up here in chapter 3 next week. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I ask you, Lord, that you would please continue to help us as we go through your word, as we begin this study on the family, as we look at your creation, as we look at your original intent of things. Father, I pray that if any of us have any struggle regarding your word, that you would help us to trust you by faith. You tell us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father, help us not to doubt you. Lord, you've given us no reason to doubt you. Father, you've always been faithful. You've always been true. You are the truth. And I just pray that your blessings be upon each and every family that is represented here today. Lord, even those that are listening via the internet. Father, please work in our homes. Work in our hearts. Lord, we need you to guide and direct us. We need you to guide and direct our families. Father, if our families aren't what they need to be, or if we're not who we should be, I pray that you would convict us of that. I pray that you would grant us repentance. And that, Lord, we would change those things that are not pleasing in your sight to be in line with you, that you might bless us, Lord, that we might hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, I ask these things in Christ's name for his honor and glory. Amen.